I was recently in heading down to Brisbane and then further to Gold Coast for our ACC Pastors National Conference. And we had a great time down there at National Conference. It was amazing. And on the plane ride there, oftentimes on the plane, I try and share Jesus with somebody because we're so many feet up in the air, sealed inside a metal tube, and they can't escape. So, perfect opportunity. And people are scared too. Like, some people are scared. So, it's an awesome opportunity to share Jesus with them because they need some hope, man. And anyway, I'm sitting. I don't understand. Okay, I'm not going to go there and talk about how silly I think some of the rules are. Anyway, I'm sitting between two people. We've got our masks on. And I come to my seat. I put my bag in the stowaway. And then I look and there's two ladies there and there's this empty, skinny little seat in the middle for me. And so I squish in, I say, excuse me, and none of them acknowledged me. And I thought, geez, this is going to be tough. And I tried to say hello to one of them beside me and I said, g'day, where are you heading to? Are you heading to Brisbane or Melbourne? Because it's a connection flight. Oh, Brisbane, okay, cool, you from Mackay? Yep. Really short answers. I was like, okay, obviously you do not want to talk. That's fine. She put her AirPods in and zoned out. The other one was reading a book and I couldn't even get her attention. I was like trying to, hey, like nothing. Just zoned out in her book. I should start my timer, praise the Lord. And anyway, I'm thinking, gosh, this is not working out for me, is it? So I put my earphones in and I start listening to my worship music. Actually, it wasn't worship music. It was my hip-hop playlist. I was getting in the mood. And I opened up my old notes. And the notes on my phone, I have this big collection of notes of things that I just compile in there, thoughts and ideas and revelation. And because I'm up in the air on flight mode, I couldn't access all my notes in the cloud. So it showed me only notes that I had downloaded. And I found this note from about mid-last year when I was going through this time where we weren't going to church or anything like that. And I was having some interesting encounters with God where God was actually breaking my perspective of this little box that I'd put him in. And so, long story short, I had this note saying, who is God? And, you know, don't judge me because we've all had our doubts. I wasn't doubting the reality of God. I was more doubting the description of God because what I had once described God in, he was starting to break out of those boundaries and expand my perspective, okay? And, you know, all of you are thinking, you know, how can a pastor possibly doubt God? Well, just wait. It was a question. God can handle your doubts. You know, if you have your doubts, it's wrong to try and take them somewhere else, but it's right if you take them to him. You know, he is the one who leads us into all truth, his spirit. And so we can take our doubts to him. And that's what I did, and I wrote this note, and I said, God, would you show me who you are again? Because you're blowing my perspective out of the water. Like, you're so much bigger than I'd once imagined. And in this note, I had wrote something in there in short. It was a big note, but in short, the gist of it was, God can be both the spiritual life force that holds all things together and still be a person. He can be in all things and through all things, and also still be a person. In fact, he is the thing holding life together, John 1 says. He is the Word, and he holds all things together. But also, he's revealed himself as a person in Christ Jesus. And so I had to like just kind of process this in my mind and allow God to reveal this to me. It probably sounds so simple for all you smart folk, but for me, this was like just an amazing, beautiful time of receiving who God is in a fresh new way. And so I started like looking at this note and I was just reminiscing and remembering how it made me feel as God started to speak to me when I'd ask him these questions and I'd bring him my concerns or my confusion. And anyway, I hear the pilot say like, hey, we're about to start descending. And I actually thought it was the lady beside me talking to me because I had my music so loud in my ears. And I said, sorry, what? And she said, oh no, just the pilot. I was like, oh, okay, this is the lady reading the book. And I found out she was actually quite nice. I judged her too quickly. And I said, what are you reading? And she said, oh, I'm reading this book here, and she showed me. And I knew of the author, and I knew that it was actually like a spiritualistic book, not a Christian book, but more of like a spiritualistic book. And I said, oh, okay, so you're into spirituality? And she said, yeah, I am. I said, oh, me too. And she goes, really? I said, yeah, really. I said, how long have you been into spirituality? How long have you been studying spirituality? She said, oh, about 3 years since I went through this health journey, you know, that I've been on, and I've been trying to find healing. I said, wow, that's amazing. She goes, how long have you been on your spiritual journey? I said, oh, about 7 years, actually. She goes, wow, that's awesome. So what led you on your spiritual journey? I said, well, actually, I'm a spiritual coach. She goes, wow, how did you get into that? A perfect opportunity to share my testimony. And I did. I shared my testimony. I said, well, I was finishing up high school and I was broken and lost, and I really didn't know my purpose at all. But then I went along to this youth ministry one day, a Christian youth group, and someone prayed for me to experience the love of God. And it was so overwhelming. I felt God's love for me despite all the things that I'd done wrong, despite the lack of things that I could do for God. I felt His unconditional sacrificial love spiritually touch me in a way it's hard to describe. And I began to cry and feel joy and peace and comfort and purpose again. And since that day, I've been following Jesus, and I've been creating opportunities for others to encounter that same God that I experienced that day. And it's been an amazing journey. She said, I'd love to hear more. And so we've got like 5 minutes left in our descent. And I begin to share with her some stories of the things that I've seen Jesus do. And she said, yeah, like, I've never heard anyone talk about Jesus the way you do. Every time I hear people talk about Jesus, they talk about the religious stuff. I said, well, Jesus is more than a religion. He is a person, and He loves you. She says, who is God to you? I said, funny you say that. I was just reading a note. Isn't it interesting how God works? I shared with her the note of something that I was going through and some questions I had for God, and that God has revealed Himself as Jesus Christ. And she was blown away. It was awesome. We exchanged details, and I said, look, I'd love to chat with you more when you get back to Mackay and whatnot. And hopefully, I haven't heard from her yet, but hopefully something happens. But I want to share this with you. I have seen, there's many different ways that people encounter Jesus. There's many different ways people come to faith. But I've seen three common ways that people come to meet Jesus. The first one is miracles. Jesus even said in John 4, He said, without signs and wonders, this generation will not believe. And I've seen people that have seen the signs and wonders and they believe. It's not the only way. I've also seen just by loving people, by being pastoral, by being caring, by looking out for someone. I've seen people and been able to lead people to Jesus by caring about them like Jesus would, in a way that maybe others don't. Jesus said that they will know me by the way that you love one another. Love and unity can lead people to Jesus. And the third most common way that I see people come to faith is by testimony. By testimony. This is scripture in Revelation 12. It says this, that, is it up on the screen? Can we get Revelation 12? Jesus is saying, not Jesus, this is a John having a vision. And God says, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. Verse 11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love their lives even unto death. What's it saying here? We overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our what? Testimony. The word of our testimony. This morning, the title of my message is called Leave the Door Open. Leave the door open. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this day. I pray that you would encourage us this morning and help us to remember the goodness of God and all the mighty things you have done and are doing in our lives. And I pray that the power of our testimony would overflow in us, through us, into our community, into our family, and impact this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. There's a story in John 9 of a blind man. And we all know the song Amazing Grace, you know? The song Amazing Grace, especially that line in the song, I was once blind, but now I see. Twas blind, but now I see. We've heard that so many times, but most people don't actually know that that is in the Bible. That's a story in John 9. And people sing that song all the time, but there's something powerful in this specific story. Jesus makes some mud, spits in the dirt, makes some mud, and puts it on a blind man's eyes to heal him. And his sight begins to be restored. For the first time in his life, the man can see. And this is where things get interesting. Whenever Jesus heals someone, there's always people that are skeptical. And instead of being happy for the man, his neighbors dragged him to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders. And Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, which was also a big no-no. But the Pharisees asked the man how he got his sight back. And the man simply gives them the facts. He says, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see. But this answer wasn't good enough for the Pharisees. And they continued to ask and interrogate this man over and over again about what happened. At one point, they even bring in the man's parents to answer for him. But the parents say, ask him what happened. He was definitely born blind, but ask him what happened. Because today I see something different. And these Pharisees, they try to debate. They try to argue with the man. Well, you're not allowed to heal on the Sabbath, so it can't possibly be from God. And they argue and argue and argue, and they try and get answers out of this blind man. But he doesn't know everything. And I want to tell you this morning, whenever someone argues with you or tries to twist your words or tries to disregard what God's doing in your life, it's okay to not have all the answers. It's okay to not know all the answers. You don't have to debate. The Pharisees had already made their minds up about Jesus. They were asking questions but not really wanting an answer. This debate just kept going and kept going. But the man, he answers with a simple testimony. He says this in verse 25. He says, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. Because they were saying Jesus is a sinner. He's done all these things wrong, like healing someone on the Sabbath. How dare he? And the blind man responds with this. Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see. A beautiful, simple response. The Pharisees wanted to debate, but your testimony is more powerful than any debate. Your testimony is greater than any debate. Because people can't argue with your testimony. They can try to, but at the back of their minds, when they go home, they're thinking, well, what if that was true? What if God really did heal him? What if they really did encounter Jesus? What if they really did experience the love of God? What if there is a spiritual reality to the universe? People can't argue with your testimony. Your testimony, if we put it into comparison to a debate, your testimony is like the Panthers, and a debate is like the Bulldogs. Your testimony carries power. People can try and argue with it. People can try and debate it. Like this man, it was simple, it was short. I was blind, but now I see. I want to give you a key this morning. Thank you for clapping, one person. Bless you. In other words, this guy's saying, look, I don't know everything. I don't know how to debate you, but I can tell you what I've experienced. I want to give you a key this morning, and that's this. Powerful stories are like a sandwich you can't resist. Powerful stories are like a sandwich you can't resist. And I hope that this could be memorable for you. I look forward to Christmas Day. Because on Christmas Day, My nana, she used to make us, we'd have leftover ham, actually Boxing Day, we'd have leftover ham and we'd also have mangoes. And so we would have a ham and mango sandwich. For some of you that might be gross, but for me and my family, it is beautiful. I love a ham and mango sandwich. You got bread on one side, ham, mango, that's the encounter with God in the middle, and another bit of bread on top. Beautiful. We actually practice this sort of thing with our youth. And we train them in this. We talked about it on Friday night. And we use this tool that we teach them called the 15-second testimony. If you could put the 15-second testimony on the screen, that'd be awesome. This is a cool story, and it's such an easy way to craft your testimony, to craft your story in a way that you can share with others that's easy and simple to remember. I was blind, but now I see. Very similar to that. The way we teach our youth is this. We open up our story with a sentence like this. There was a time in my life when I was dot, dot, dot. And you might answer angry or rebellious. For me and that lady that I shared with on the plane, it was, I was lost and I didn't have any purpose. I didn't know my identity. And then you have the cross in the middle. But then I had an encounter with God. I believed, I surrendered, and I followed him. And then we list two things that explain or describe our life after we've had that experience with God. So for example, it could be peace. It could be joy. It could be purpose. It could be destiny. And so it's really simple. There's a time in my life when I was far from God. I was angry and rebellious, but I had an encounter with Jesus. I believed in him and I surrendered my life to him. And since that day, I have peace and my heart overflows with purpose. Really short testimony. And then we like to end it with, do you have a story like that? That's one way we train our youth. That's something you can do. How would you fill in those blanks there? Let's go back to the slide we had on there before. This is the sandwich. It's the sandwich sort of principle. If we go back to this, powerful stories are like a sandwich. What's something that describes your life before you encountered God? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, maybe as long as you can remember. There's a lot of people like that. Maybe you've known about God all your life, but there was a specific moment where you encountered him. Or there's a specific moment where you prayed and he answered a prayer. And you could use that under the cross. There's a time where I didn't know what direction to take in my life. There was a time where I was sick and I needed healing. And I had an encounter with God. He healed me and set me free. And since then, I'm healthy and I'm full of joy and I can't wait to share with others. It's a really simple sandwich type of testimony. And we love this. It works well. You can use it all the time. It's short and sharp. Is that cool? Is that good? I want you to think about how you can use that this week. That's a simple tool that you could use and share with anybody. When they ask you, why do you go to church? When they ask you, what did you do on the weekend? When they ask you, hey, tell me about yourself. You can insert your 15-second testimony. You're not chewing their ear off. You're not bringing debate. You're not trying to sling scripture at them and confuse them in something they don't understand yet. But you share from your heart a powerful testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Awesome. Who knows the story in John 4 with the woman at the well? You know, I think it's been brought up a few times this year in church. And it's an amazing story, this woman that encounters Jesus, and she's at the well. Jesus comes and he asks for a drink, and if you know the story, you know they start to talk about water, and Jesus says, give me a drink. She says, no. Jesus said, look, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink, because the water that I give is going to spring up in you like a well to everlasting life. You drink a normal water, you're going to get thirsty again, but Jesus says, if you drink from the water that I give, you'll never thirst. You'll never thirst. And I think it's key that we note in that scripture, sometimes we don't fully understand what Jesus is saying there. When he says, you drink from me, the water that I give will become in you a spring of water overflowing. What's he trying to say? The way I hear that, and I hear God saying to us, is that we have an encounter so that our lives can become an encounter for others. You know, it's great that you could come to church and have an encounter with God. It's great that you could lift your hands and worship and feel His peace in His presence. But if that doesn't produce in you a spring and overflowing, then you're holding it to yourself. Come on, somebody, are you with me this morning? We are called to have encounters so that our life can become an encounter for somebody else. We need to open that door. This is what I love about testimonies. You've heard me say this before, but a testimony, when you share your testimony, it's like opening a door into a new reality for that other person. When we share our testimony, it's like opening a door for others to experience the same miracle, the same Jesus, the same encounter that we had. We have encounters so that our life can become an encounter for others. And that's what she did. We hear her story. She encounters Jesus. And then she goes off. She leaves her jar at the well. She goes back into her town and says, "Come and see a man who told me everything about me. He knew everything about me. Come and see him. Is he the Messiah?" She shared something so simple, a simple testimony, and the whole town gathered to see Jesus. You know, about a month ago, I signed up to a new phone plan, and it was great. They gave me a good deal. But as I was talking to the lady at the Optus desk, she said to me, "Hey, I just noticed on your old plan from last year, they've added another number to your account." And I thought, "How dare they?" She goes, "Look, it's not really costing you any more. It looks like they've done it so that it works out that you get more data. But still, there's another number there that you don't need. If I was you, I'd call up Optus, ask them to remove that number and see if you can get refunded for the cost that number had spent, even though you're getting more data. You never asked for that number." And I said, "You're right, I didn't. Like, I didn't know there's another number there that was to my name. I'm paying $39 a month on that number just so that I can get extra data that I never actually asked for." And she said, "I think they were being cheeky. I think they added an extra number so that the lady who was serving you would get the bonus for getting a new number on the line." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, I had the same problem. And I called up Optus only 3 months ago and I told them that there was another number that I didn't know about on my plan and they refunded me the whole amount." And after her sharing her testimony, this week I finally got around to calling Optus and I said, "Hey, there's another number on my plan and I'm still paying it off. I've got a new plan now, but I've still got to pay off this old number. I don't think this is fair. I don't think this is right. I never signed up for this." And they said, "Well, sir, you know what? We'll investigate it." They called me back and they said, "We're going to refund the whole amount. You'll be refunded an addition to your account of $450-something. And I was like, "Praise God!" But here's the thing. If this lady at Optus never shared her testimony with me, I never would have knew that it was possible. Never would have knew it was possible. The fact that she shared her testimony with me opened a door for me to experience the same thing. How many people are missing out because you haven't opened the door for them? How many people's lives are shut off from God because you haven't opened a door for them to experience Him yet? Who in your life today, Holy Spirit, I pray you'd start dropping some names into our hearts. Who in your life today needs you to open a door for them? Because you have the key. Your testimony is a key to unlock the door to their next encounter. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Is it a family member? Is it a work colleague? Who is it? Who is it? Who can you open the door for? If you don't share your story, how on earth is God going to get the glory? We need to open the door. We need to open the door. God can do all things. Yeah, He can. He can do anything. He's powerful. He's mighty. He can do all things. But only you can share your testimony. He's not going to share it for you. Who can you open the door for? Something I find powerful about this too is it's one thing to share our story, but we also, when people hear our story, they receive our story and they want to know more, they want to go deeper, we need to know His story. We need to know God's story. We need to know what it was about that Jesus went to the cross. We need to understand what's been happening from the beginning until today. that we've been in a world of brokenness and we can't escape it. But God came down in flesh. He sent Jesus. He died on the cross, and if we would believe in him, he would restore us into our new creation identity. And we can go back into brokenness and bring people there too. We need to know his story. In fact, if you look at all history, history is really his story. It's history. It's his story. We need to know his story. If we go back to this scripture that I quoted at the beginning in Revelations, if we see this in a different translation, we actually realize it doesn't say their testimony. It actually says his testimony. I've got it written up here in the Passion Translation. Revelations chapter 12. Can we get it on the screens? Awesome. It says, they conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of his testimony. Your testimony is powerful, but his testimony conquers. Your testimony needs to lead to his testimony, all right? We share our testimony, it opens a door. But then when people encounter God, for context for them, we need to be prepared to share his testimony. It's his testimony. It's his story. All throughout history, it's his story. You know, the most beautiful Christians that I've met have been ones that remember and walk in wonder every day of their life, completely in awe that Jesus saved them. The most beautiful Christians I've ever met are those people that wake up in the morning and they're shocked and surprised and in awe that Jesus saved them. And it's wonderful for them. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. And in fact, over the last couple of weeks, I've adapted my morning routine because I've seen these people in my life and I've heard about these people who just are so amazed that Jesus would save them, that he would heal them and transform their life, and how that supercharges their day. I chose to change my morning routine so that it would put in there a place where I can supercharge my day and cipher the power of my testimony into my present reality. So here's what I do. In the morning, this is what I do. I have a formula up on the screens in one of these slides. But I often start my day with remembering. With remembering. Imagine what it would be like for us if every morning you woke up remembering all of the things God has done. Because sometimes, quite frankly, I wake up in the morning and I think, oh man, I've got so much to do today. I've got to meet with these people. Gee, that person's really hard to talk to. I've got to do this, this, and this. I've got to do this visit and that visit. I've got to plan this event and that event. And I can get overwhelmed. And I enter into my day walking, dragging my heels along the ground, thinking, gee, my life's really hard. Or I could supercharge my day and start it right. And I could remember. Imagine what it'd be like if you could remember every day. So here's what I do. At the start of my day, I get a drink of water, and then I sit on the edge of my bed and I practice this prayer that involves three steps. It's a three-step prayer. It involves remembering and gratitude. I present my request to God, and then I raise praise. It's three R's, easy to remember. Remember, request, and raise praise. Notice how I have in there remember. Because to me, remembering is more than just reflecting on a story or something good that God's done. For me, remembering means to bring in all of the encounters that I've had with God, to bring in all the goodness of God and the thoughts of God, the testimonies of God that I've had in my life over the days, and to bring them and unite them together, to remember them, to bring all the members in together, to come into unity in this present moment with what God has done, to remember, to reunite. You know, if someone lost an arm or a leg and they had to reattach it, or maybe a finger, because I don't know if you can fully reattach an arm or a leg, but like maybe a finger, if someone lost a finger, they have to remember that finger back on. What are we doing to remember ourselves? To remember what God has done, to unite us into that oneness, into that unity with our Creator that Jesus paid for. So I start with remember. I sit on the edge of my bed and I say, Lord, I thank you for this day. And I just remember, I can't imagine, Lord, what my life would be like without your salvation. I'm so grateful you came and got me when you did. Lord, I thank you for the power of your blood. And I start to lift up gratitude. God, I thank you for your healing. I remember all the miracles that I've seen. God, I remember the testimonies and the people that I've encountered. I remember the drug addicts that have come into church and then months later, we've seen such a transformation. God, I remember those young people that we've been able to love on and pray for and we've seen them grow and become all that you've called them to be. God, I remember that thing that you did in my family, that time you provided for me. God, I remember and I supercharge my day with faith, with faith, with faith. It'll change your atmosphere. Like I shared the other week, gratitude will shift your attitude. And we can practice it every day. You can siphon that power of your testimony into your present reality. Then I go on to request. I share a few things that I need to ask from the Lord. And then I praise Him for who He is. It's simple. It's easy. It only takes me about 5 to 10 minutes. But it really supercharges my day right. Is that going to be helpful for somebody this week? Add into your morning routine. It's great. In closing today, maybe we could have the worship team back on stage, please. I just feel a conviction in my heart that oftentimes we, as believers, we have these encounters with God and we open that door. We open that door of our testimony and we think, we have these seasons where we open that door and we think, God, you're amazing. And when we need Him, when we really need Him, when we're desperate, we open that door and we say, God, you're amazing. I worship you. I remember all the things you've done in my life. I thank you, God. But then when times get busy, we close that door and we walk away. And people, there's so many people in our lives that are probably desperate for Jesus. I just wonder how many people in our lives that are desperate to know Jesus, but when they look at you, all they see is a closed door. Man, I just pray that we could be people that leave the door open. That we could be people that wake up in the morning and we remember. That before we go to sleep, we remember. And we leave the door open. That we walk in that wonder and that awe of, and we're so amazed and in awe of how God has saved us. I was blind, but now I see. Friend, there's power in your testimony. You may not think there is, but it can be so simple. And maybe you've been wanting to have a testimony. Maybe you've been wanting to encounter God this morning. I encourage you, if you keep seeking, if you stay a little longer in His presence, you will see amazing things take place in your life. If you commit and not give up, if you hang in there a little longer, I'm telling you, He's going to get you. He's going to get you. Would you stand with me this morning, church? I've preached for way too long. This is what it means to encourage yourself in the Lord. David, all through the Psalms, he encouraged himself in the Lord. There was armies, nations against him, forming a battle, forming war against David and Israel. And David would cry out to God and share all of these problems, but then by the end of it, he would encourage himself in the Lord and he would say, I will not forget what the Lord has done, that He has led us through the sea, that He has brought us into this land. I will not forget what the Lord has done. Let's be people that leave the door open. Would you close your eyes with me? If you want to lift your hands, we can do that this morning. I want to pray. I want us to remember this morning. Lord, I ask this day, may we never forget what you have done. May we never forget the healing, the providing, the comfort, the care of your presence. God, I pray this morning as we remember, as we worship, Lord Jesus, you would flood our hearts and supercharge this day by the power of our testimony, that we would overcome, that we would overcome. Lord, show us people this week that we can open a door for. We love you, God. We love you. Lord, I pray that strengthen our hearts, Lord, that whenever we feel weary, whenever we feel weak or whenever we doubt, God, I ask that you would remind us of all the great things that you have done. Teach us this week, Lord, help us to practice it, how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, how to leave the door open. Lord, may we be people that leave the door open for others to walk into. I pray this week, Lord, that you'd give us boldness, courage and faith to share your story. We love you so much, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Can we thank Jesus for all he's done? We thank you, God.